Hello and welcome to another episode of Ricky Gervais is Deadly Serious with me, Ricky Gervais, Diane Morgan.
Hello.
And little Robin Ince.
Hello.
Robin Ince is 50 years old tomorrow.
I am, yeah.
Oh.
It won't change much because I've looked in my 60s for such a long time.
I know. Oh.
Everyone is always shocked by the fact, oh, God, you're only 50.
I think that Robin looks like a little cartoon testicle. With glasses, because it's lovely. He's got his lovely little.
What cartoons are you reading that are filled with testicles? You see, this is what. Because I mean, yeah, some of the peanut stuff that you know Charles Schultz never. I'm pretty certain there weren't.
No, yeah. But I like the fact you can. I mean, I'm losing my hair. I haven't got long, but I'd love it. Yours is perfect. It's a lovely little fluffy nut.
Yeah.
Any?
Yeah, I'm a monk with alopecia. That's kind of what I've.
Oh God. So I've seen you blossom from a little indie kid.
Like that. That sounds like a horrible moment in a DA.
Yeah,
how
long
novel.
Have you known each other?
Hold on.
I think I was 93. 92,
I think it was. 92.
Yeah.
Wow. So, yeah, and he had sort of black hair all spiked up. And he was quite thin with thicker glasses.
Actually, I wasn't thin. I think I was fatter then than I am now.
No, you got fat, but you were skinny when I first met him. And then he got a little fat and everyone called him Tubby Holly. Yeah. Right, because he was...
No one called me that apart from him. What listeners need to know is that whenever the term everyone is used, it means, Ricky Gervais say it, so one presumes that everyone else does in my solipsistic world.
Right, well, last time, Diane shamed me by bringing in some questions and sort of saving this terrible format. I'd not say this radio show is on its last legs, but it never had legs. It was never good. Do you know what I mean?
You could always hear the whistling of the gravedigger, couldn't you?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, but I've done some questions. So
how many?
I don't know. I did them 5 minutes ago.
Right.
So I thought, no.
He won't be able to read it. You can see he did it in the car here and they went over some speed bumps.
I did have a quick look. Writing. All I could see was squid legs.
Well, first question to Diane.
Yeah.
What would you rather have, right?
Yeah.
Big tentacles for legs, right? Yeah. So you have to snurble around like an octopus, right? Snurble, you've got no legs, but it's just you. You're you, right? And big sort of like... 6 foot tentacles, like snowballing along on the ground.
Yeah, with suckers on the underside.
Yeah, but you can move along quite right. You're out and about, you can go for walks.
Okay.
Right, you have to keep them moist.
Right.
Right, you have to carry a bottle of water to keep your legs dry out, right?
Yeah.
Right, that's one thing. Or big lobster claws for arms.
Oh, what, like Grady, was it Grady Styles?
Who's that?
Lobster Boy. He was one of the circus sideshow guy.
Yeah.
He was killed by his children. Do you not know about Grady Styles?
No.
He was called Lobster Boy. He was, this was during the time, must have been 30s or 40s, I suppose. Gibson Town he might have ended up living in, which you know about Gibson Town?
No.
Oh, it's amazing. Gibson Town is where all the people who used to work in circus sideshows, you know, who would have been put in what would have then been, you know, called, you know, the... circus attractions, you know, the equivalent of Tolbert.
Yeah,
all of that. That's where they go and live in Florida afterwards.
What? Why did they all live there? Was it coincidence?
Because then you don't all get looked at, you know, it's that thing of going, if this is where we all live, if you're just on your own, bearded lady or whatever, everyone might point at you. But Grady Styles, I think it was Grady Styles, he was, you know, so it meant that there wasn't proper attachment in his hands, it meant that his hands looked slightly like lobster claws.
Right.
And why did his kids kill him?
Because apparently he was also an awful bully as well. And I think most of the family as well had also got the genes, the genetic thing that meant they had similar hands as well.
Right.
Sorry, I just thought I'd tell you that. I realise I've totally forgotten what the show is now.
You really can't.
And I've confused this for
bully.
The British panel show QI, in which here's an interesting fact. I apologise.
Yeah, no.
But I'm 50 now, so I'm just facts.
Yeah. So what would you have then?
Definitely. Hang on, how big are the claw arms?
They're like 3 foot big.
They're not like an actual tiny little.
No.
Lobster claws.
No.
Oh, the whole arm.
Yeah, the whole arm is like a big lobster claw. You look like a giant.
Yeah, but I could cover them up, couldn't I, with big sleeves?
Well, yeah, but that'd be obvious. It would be like, you know, like when you know, John Merrick has the Hessian bag, you'd be walking through a train station.
But it'd be easier than covering up the legs, wouldn't it?
But what would you do? You couldn't do anything. You couldn't knit anymore.
I could still be able to pick up my coffee. I could write.
No, you couldn't.
How would you get the money out of your pocket to buy for the coffee?
With my nippy...
No, but they're huge. They're big. They're onto scale.
You just said they're the same size as mine.
No, but I mean, relatively. So if you had a lobster the size of you, it'd be a big thing. I mean, you'd be knocking shit over. You couldn't really.
I couldn't have the legs.
But you could wear a long skirt.
Yeah.
Yeah, but she'd still be 3 foot high because the just squiddling along. I mean.
Oh no! I'd go for the arms. I think.
I think you've got to, haven't
you? You can still clutch things.
Yeah.
But with. I don't know.
I get worried about the squid thing because my son really likes calamari. And what if he then... Because that squid or is that octopus?
Well, But I don't think that's a problem. I don't think
okay.
I mean, I say you are
I just wouldn't like to be... I wouldn't like to be... I know that he doesn't like lobster.
Yeah.
So that means I won't wake up and find out I've been cannibalised.
Yeah.
Is it still cannibalism if part of your body isn't...
Well, no, that isn't
your...
But this isn't your question, Robin. So you,
oh, I'm sorry.
I've got a different one for you, right? What would you do, right? If I paid for it, right?
Oh, God. Whenever these things start... If I paid for that, would you live in a glass wardrobe naked in my garden? No, I wouldn't.
Right. If I paid for it, right?
Right.
It'd be a cock. I'd have your a skin graft from your pubic hair onto your head so you're not bald anymore. So a lovely, your big pubendal triangle of lovely frizzy pubic hair, right?
Yeah.
Bang. On your forehead. Beautiful head of hair suddenly overnight.
This
bang.
Is so much easier
though,
than yours.
It's different texture, yeah. But I mean, you don't use your pubic hair, do you, anymore?
Well, I mean, I never particularly used it to carry things around or, you know, hide things in.
Is it grey? Is it the same shade as the head?
No. It moves at different speed. It's an interesting thing. Yeah, the actual ageing of... perhaps
the colour. Is it
No, that's
colour?
What I mean. Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. It's not the same colour. So I think there's a thing that, you know, perhaps because the hair arrives later, then...
It's got a few years.
Yeah, it has a few extra 12, years. 12
years.
Right.
Right. 12 years on it.
Well, anyway, that was much easier than Diane's question. No. Even you're paying, you know, I know if I could take a cash alternative.
Okay,
Why
right.
would I want, one, I'm not bothered about being bald, you know, and two, just no.
Why? Well, okay, being bald is not like it used to be, is it?
No.
Because men used to, it was real shame in it, and a lot of men had wigs. There was a lot of wigs.
I talk about this in Humanity, my brain knows a wig has come into the room before I do. You know what I mean? And my uncle, well, I was bald till the age of 30, and then just came round one day. Ding dong, and Elvis at the
door.
But
it
hushed up.
He had hair that went ding dong.
Yeah,
he got one of those ding dong wigs. Have you had a ding dong? I don't know how to turn this ding dong sound off. The wig's
a giveaway.
Yeah.
See, I think if you've got one, you've got to go. I bought a wig, everyone.
But I think they're better now.
Uh-huh.
I think the 70s one where people would sort of like just put it in, you know, wash it and then plonk it on, and they went grey everywhere. But this is still
like
jet
Frankie
black.
Yeah,
when they're 70.
I think that even then it was a budgetary thing, because if you watch old movies, 40s and 50s, so many of the leading actors have wigs. But you have to watch, look very carefully. But the kind of people who went to Ding Dong wigs, they're immediately a low budget wig
made of nylon.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
yeah.
Also now, loads. I mean, we know people. There's lots of
then
actors
Bruce
who have
Willis
implants
has done
now.
So much for the bald man, as have footballers.
Yeah. But hold on, would you... Okay, then, right, you don't want to transplant yourself, but would you donate your pubic hair to make a wig for someone with alopecia or something? If I paid for it...
That's a good question.
But thank you. You get the...
I'm not sure they're going to add that to the donor's card. Kidney, liver, heart, pubic hair.
But if it was
it's a very interesting...
Yeah, but if it was...
Could it afford, you know, Swedish hair or whatever the best hair is?
Yeah. But, I mean, I imagine
so
it's...
They could go for the rubber.
How long is your... Your pubic hair is probably... If you stretch it out, it's probably 6 inches long, isn't it?
Like, do you know what? It's so long since I last measured it. It's
listen, would you donate... If I paid for it and I got a professional, a nurse to come in and shave the pubic hair off, right, and then keep it.
Well, hang on, this shave it.
No,
one, the surgery
it,
wise, this
gotta,
is disaster.
You've got to get the root.
So would you donate your hair to have it glued onto someone else's head? I think he's going to be annoyed because he's going to wake up. He's going to go, Ricky Gervais, a lovely man. He saw that I was bald, and he's going to give me a special. And just glued some mate's pubic hair on, and some of it's grey. He lied on the bloody podcast.
Right? No, but what do they have to take the skin off?
Got to
with
get
it?
The root. It's like cress. Yeah. You've got to get the actual...
Oh, you're talking about... Yeah, I was just like using it like people donate their hair to make wigs out of.
Oh, right.
Like, you do that, I wouldn't skin you for someone else. I was going to graft it for you, but I wouldn't do it for someone else. So it's like we just shave your pubes off.
See, at that point, any psychiatrist listening goes, now let's listen again, students, to that, as he talked about his friend's pubic hair. I think we can read quite a lot into that.
Here's the beat.
Gervais in a dress.
Right, let's play Is the Beatles and Let It Be. That was The Beatles and Let It Be. I'm Ricky Gervais, with me Diane Morgan and little Robin Ince.
Hello.
Who's 50?
Not yet. Tomorrow. Well, it depends when you listen to it.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's
my, the nature of time.
My little 50-year-old friend.
Yep.
Are you worried about it? Did it bother you? No. Did 40 bother you?
No.
Have you had your prostate checked yet? Have you had your prostate checked?
No, I told you I'm going to do that when I've run out of material and I need a new routine. No,
does that happen at 50?
Oh, you should start doing it.
At 50, do that, yeah.
Right.
Again, if I paid for it...
Again, technically, I have, according to, yet again, one of your lies you made up about me.
No, but, I mean, would if I...
Do you know what? Thing is, I'm doing all right. It's really lovely that you're offering to pay for all these things. And I realise that there's nothing in it for you apart from the fact that you're allowed to sit in and watch.
No, I've just film it for YouTube.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's an awareness campaign. This is Robin. He was worried about this.
Yeah.
And now look at him.
Ricky Gervais, and I've got a glove. Well, hang on, you're not a doctor. I am honorary doctorate from a Mormon Tabernacle Choir.
Right. Question two for Diane. Right. Would you rather be 10 inches tall or 10 feet tall?
Oh.
10 feet.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I'd go, 10 inches,
because 10
I think.
Inches, you're going to get injured, aren't you?
Well, I suppose you... Yeah, you're walking around, you're about the size of a...
little dog.
Like a little... Yeah. But you've probably got mates to sort of look after, or you've... I don't know, you might have a...
10 foot, you can't go anywhere. Where can you go?
You can't get use on public a chair, transport. Can you?
What?
Can't fit
climb
in a car?
On a chair.
No, but you can just... Well, you can.
So you can't... You just have to sit on the floor in a corner.
Push chair?
You wouldn't... What, a specially made pushchair?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah, or you could make, like, kind of bionic legs that you would, like, that would carry you along.
As well as being 10 inches, I've got bionic legs.
No, but you could have, one of those, like, little cars for kids. They've got, like, real good cars now, haven't they? You know.
No, I'd rather be 10 feet
tall. Yeah, but you can't go anywhere. That's it. You're
10
stuck.
Feet tall.
6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Yeah, that's almost like two people, isn't it?
Yeah.
So you can't
I'd rather that. I could crouch down a bit, couldn't I?
No, that would be bad for you.
No, I just sit on my haunches.
At least they're looking up to you as opposed to nearly treading on you,
yeah,
I suppose.
Yeah, I think I'm thinking about injury as a small person. But I mean, as a big person, imagine what you could do.
Well,
so
I suppose
the weight of your bones, though.
You're you'd be the best basketball player. You'd just stand by the net, wouldn't the basket?
Surely I'd be disqualified.
No.
For my height.
No.
Really?
They don't do that. Because that's the whole thing of basketball, isn't it? That part of it.
Yeah, but I'm not just tall. Yeah. I'm a freak.
Yeah, but that's good, isn't it?
That's fine, is it?
Yeah, of course it is. They can't disqualify you because you're too tall. That would really defeat the object.
But it's not just too tall.
Think of the high jump. We just step over.
This wouldn't be fun to watch, would it?
You'd win everything.
I wonder if she's going to get over it.
Javelin. Phew. Think of those levers. You could do anything, couldn't you?
Yeah, I'd probably use it to sort of threaten people.
Really? Just go around being a bully?
What are you going to do?
Kick him in the face.
Yeah, one, easy to fall over. You've got such long legs.
No, if you're 10 foot, oh, my God. You're pretty... And wearing armour with a huge sword, you can clean up.
Robin. I don't think you can. I think you're clanking around. You go, oh, I'm going to go and beat some people up. They go, can you hear that clanking from miles off? Yeah, that'd be down. We want to go in. Where should we go in? We'll go into anywhere that has a door frame that's 6 foot 6, which is nearly everywhere.
Question for you.
Outside.
Question for you, Robin, right? Would you rather wake your dad up? Your dad's still alive, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you sneak into dad's room and just kiss him on the lips till he wakes up, right?
My God.
Right. Yeah.
And then go, I've always loved you, Papa.
Right.
Or punch him in the face and go, you fucking twat. I've never liked you.
Yeah, what I always find difficult with these, because I mean, it is a fascinating ethical dilemma that reminds me a lot of the kind of Greeks in terms
great.
Of it. But at the same time,
thanks,
I'm not
Diane.
Entirely sure. At what point this scenario is going to... Because I think some of what Socrates talked about, you think, oh, yeah, that might happen.
Just answer the question, Robin.
Yeah, he's evading it.
Thank you, Diane.
Well, it's not so much from evading. I think I'd probably just go, Dad, wake up, make some breakfast.
No, that's not
one
of the questions.
No, that's not an option.
That's not the question.
Right, okay.
Kissy lips, Dad or Papa, love thee.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, hug, right?
I think I'd go with that because it would be. Oh. I'm still because.
Isn't it weird? Why was better Robin? Than... Why are you trying to kiss me?
Then you go because Ricky Gervais said that I had to do it.
Oh, is he the man with the camera over there?
If yes,
I've not liked anything
it.
He's done. It just seems rude and silly. You know, it's just no.
Do you ever you still have a problem hugging Papa or not? Because I mean, you did when we.
No. Again, you've confused factual information with dreams or things you've imagined. You know, cartoon testicles you've been drawing.
A lot of people do,
all
don't
of these
they?
Things.
They're still not can't hug their
yeah,
parents.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's weird.
I think
do
I
a
ever,
handshake.
I don't think I ever hugged my dad. I don't know.
Really,
I
you didn't. Yeah, no. I had to introduce it to my family. I remember having to, and they were like, first really like,
yeah.
What are you doing?
Yeah. I talked about this on my news show. I didn't hug anyone until I was 32. Now everyone hugs. Do you know what I mean?
It's weird, it wasn't you didn't hug anyone until you were 32. And when you were 33, there was a petition that asked you to stop hugging so many people. That's true with you.
But it just wasn't
no
done.
Too many.
I mean, sort of two blokes. It was never. It was like you did a one-liner. You wound people up. You said something offensive. That was your hug. It was no. Yeah, this hugging culture. Yeah. You know. So, but Robin.
But I.
Did you hug Papa?
No.
No.
Not
exactly.
Really.
No.
It's a generational thing. I don't think it's our generation.
No.
I think it's that we communicate in a different... that they communicate in a different way. And so you don't kind of go... rather than hugging stuff like that, you just do something like, oh, I've mended that thing, or oh, I found this book and thought you'd like it. Oh, yeah. Thank you very much. I do like that book. Yeah. And that
huggy,
communication...
Huggy? Does Papa want... Huggy? Papa wants Huggy, Robin. You go off to London with all your chums and Papa's left here, no huggables. Papa wants Huggies.
Yeah. Incredible. I saw a tweet the other day about how many awards you've got. And the disparity is just...
Oh, let's have a lovely song.
Clint Eastwood has just won the Golden Globe. Huggy.
Now, see, why don't we see more of that as opposed to you being rude?
Yeah.
You know?
Please welcome Mel Gibson. Huggy. Huggy Huggables.
You know, that would have been... What a lovely Golden Globes that would have been with all the Huggy Huggables that you want to give.
Right. OK, this is for Papa. And it's Is Your Love in Vain by Bob Dylan. Bob Dylan, Is Your Love in Vain? Robin feels all uncomfortable with these questions.
Well, no, I'm not uncomfortable. I'm not sure this is still the Proust questionnaire. Because I don't remember that.
No, yeah. But, right,
Proust,
okay.
That beautiful scene in Remembrance of Things Past when a man comes in with pubic hair on his head and Proust suddenly remembers when he was young and ate a cake.
Proust questions were rubbish.
Yeah, actually, they didn't.
They were really poor.
They didn't fit in with this genre of ethical, philosophical broadcasting.
No, exactly. Yeah, I know. So, Robin, we're celebrating Robin's 50th birthday, all the things he's gone through, the change, the menopause.
Never felt,
the change? What?
You've never been bothered about getting older, like 30, 40?
Sometimes I don't like the proximity to death. Right.
Is that all it is?
I'm not really that bothered about it. It's not like
age.
My youthful athleticism was so great that I feel that I've lost anything. You know, I'm not bothered by it really.
No.
I think there's too much. I don't like what, you know, there's so much of a culture which is people getting worried about getting old, going grey, going bald, whatever. And when you do actually see, you know, when you see someone with a brilliantly lined face, like really fantastic, and you think that's much better than those people that you go, oh, God, their plastic surgery is now one stretch away from when it makes the leap from human to, you know.
I don't care about that either. The only thing I care about, in all honesty, obviously, you want to live a full life and be around as long as you can and have fun, and it's amazing, and that's it, and that's all you've got, right? So there's that sort of pressure. But you don't want to having to stop doing things. That's the only thing. That's the depressing thing.
I've watched that with, you know, people that I know, friends of mine who've got older, and that annoys. What we don't realize, when we're young, I think you think that old people kind of have the brain suddenly, but it's a bit like being an adult. When you were a kid, you thought, one day I'll wake up and I'll be an adult. I'll just suddenly go, oh, I've got an adult brain now. I want to smoke a pipe, actually.
Yeah.
And then you find out you don't. There's no grand transition to adulthood.
Not.
And in the same way, I think we used to look at old people and think, oh, yeah, you kind of, they must have I'm old now, so I just, and they're not, you know, people I know in their 80s and 90s who just the frustration of going, why can't I do that? Because my brain's still doing all
I
this
know.
Thinking.
Well, I worry about that as well. I couldn't remember a place name today, and it really worries me, and it shouldn't. obviously it shouldn't. And I started thinking, oh, no, it's about, oh, my God, when do you start getting salinity? And it's ridiculous because you forget things all the time. But things like that worry me, like huge changes. The inability to do stuff you love, I guess. Yeah. And if you couldn't do it anymore, it wouldn't worry me. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If they said, oh, you'll never play the piano again, I go, well, I don't play the piano.
Yeah.
But if it's something you absolutely love, you know.
That's why I've been very careful in making sure I develop very few skills, because it means I won't then feel sad at losing them.
But
I
always
have no skills.
You love reading, and, but you'll always have that. Even if you lose your eyesight, there's audiobooks. Someone could, you know what I mean?
You could read to him, couldn't you?
I would read to you, Robin.
Aww. Yeah.
And I'd just be there going, not that book again. And the wrinkly old testicle went, oh, bloody hell. I've written this book.
Yeah. Robin, so...
Diane's go
for... I was going to say, what would you want of people to think of you when you go? What would you... I mean, I don't care.
It's that
but if you could see it now,
of course you care. You wouldn't want people to think you're a paedophile, would you?
Well, no, exactly.
Well, so you care. Well, actually, you must care to why a certain extent.
Well, no. That's me now thinking
now,
that.
That's
though.
That's all you've got, isn't it? What do you care now? People.
Well, of course.
Say?
If what I want people to think of me now is that I'm a nice, moral, funny bloke, you know, and all those things. Yeah. But I wouldn't know, would I? If I'm dead and people start saying, oh, I hated him, I can't care about that, can I?
As far as we know.
No, but, what you're talking about, I agree. The thing is, what you hope is what you were in life was good enough that... So it's not that you're worried about how you're going to be remembered, apart from it means
that
you were a decent human being.
It's tracing it back. So if they think about that then, I am that, and that's good. Yeah, so...
I like there was Jeremy Hardy, who I know American listeners may not know him at all. He was a really great British comic who died a few weeks ago. He was only 57. And there was a lovely thing that his friend, comedian Mark Steele, said. He said, Jeremy wouldn't want you to be sad. He'd want you to be bloody devastated.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that's, you know, you're caught between, well, I don't want to leave people feeling really sad. Hang on a minute, I do. Because if they don't feel sad, then it means they'll go, oh, well, there's plenty of other blokes who can read his testicle stories.
I know, but it depends. If you went now, 50, people would go, oh, no, Robin Ince. If you go at, like, 75, they go, he had a good innings.
Yeah.
He only sat around me.
75? Hang on. Come on. 83?
Well, yeah, but I mean,
we might have talked about this before, but when you're younger and the difference in your... Like, I remember thinking, oh, Mick Ronson, when he wasn't that young. And then Mick Ronson was, like, 46 when he died. And you go, that's nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
I mean, and he was brilliant.
Well, you keep pushing it back, don't you?
Yeah.
You know, it depends on what state of mind you are, how good life is and everything. I hope
what happens is it's a bit like hair loss, right? If I'd lost my hair when I was in my 20s, I think I'd have felt quite sad about it.
Of course.
I'm not really that bothered because I'm 50 and I knew, you know, the genetic benchmark was there, seeing my dad. And in the same way, I hope the same thing happens with age, that you get to 83 and you go, ah, it's fine now, I can go. I mean, I presume it doesn't happen like that.
I don't know what the big fuss about 40 is. You know, everyone goes on about 40 like it's some big...
Again, it's so changed now, isn't it? It is like... 40 is like 25.
Yeah, but
you know.
There's still... You come to 40, but if you're 39, people go on, oh, are you worried about 40? You're over 40
Yeah,
now.
But isn't that just... It's the
but
same
then
thing
hit
as 40, people...
Like, it's fine. It's absolutely fine. There's nothing changes. There's
I know.
No difference.
It's where you are, what you can do. It really ages... is nothing. And obviously we all wake up and we are by definition one day closer to death. Every day we're as close to death as we've ever been till tomorrow, right? So it's inevitable. But things, I don't think anyone really cares. You're right, at 50, no one worries about going grey or losing their hair.
I think people do, though, because you do probably still see midlife crises. You still see people where you go, oh, please. You know, that bit where I would like more people to realise what we thought 50-year-olds looked like when we were 20. You know, when you see a guy who is kind of being, like, flirtatious with someone, and you go, no, she's seeing... She's seeing this
Mr.
terrifying
Burns coming towards her.
Man.
I know.
Hello, pretty thing.
You know, you don't look. No, I still got it, haven't I? I don't know what you've got, but I think you have still got it.
Yeah,
and it's
I know.
Not nice. It's all
I
over
agree.
Your face.
I agree.
No, it's like a bit of just realizing.
Just be nice. Don't be creepy. Don't,
yeah.
It doesn't.
Don't
it's
be
like,
creepy.
Do you know what I mean?
It's good advice. It really
good
is
advice,
that. Yeah.
Don't be creepy.
Oh, God.
It's like when people on, you know, planes, when you, oh, yeah, that air steward, she likes you, doesn't she? She smiled at you. Yeah, that's what people do. That's what people do.
Of course.
When they say, would you like a drink? They don't go, apart from certain airlines, they generally go, would you like a drink? Oh, she asked me in a nice way. It doesn't mean anything. That's the way people do that kind of thing.
Yeah, I
know. It's funny, that, the male brain. Yeah. You don't get women doing that just because a man smiles. Oh,
I know, exactly.
I don't know. Every now and again,
Is that all it takes, a smile?
So sometimes they kind of, you know, hen weekends when you sat on the train, you're listening to, you know, the first Prosecco. Yeah. But you're right. It is more.
But it's
a
different
kind of,
as well. Yeah, it's different. It's not. It's it's like the difference. Like men go into strip clubs. There's something so horrible, right? But women going to see the Chippendales is different.
Yeah.
It's a different reason.
It's almost like a joke.
It's a joke. I know. I mean, it's still not good to. Play a hen party if you're a comedian.
I did with Brian Cox. We were playing in a coastal town, kind of an end of the pier theatre, and the night before, so I was doing the show with him. We were going, the universe is beautiful, here's a picture of Nebula, and the manager went, oh God, he said, we had a male strip troupe of the things we found under the chairs afterwards.
Like what?
People who've just done a poo under
what?
The chair.
What?
So why? Before you go, the thing about loners is during
the day. What do you mean?
Yeah, he said, we just couldn't believe the detritus that
what?
We found.
What? What do you mean, people in the audience?
Drunk. Yeah.
What, women shitting themselves
so
with the Chippendales?
Beforehand. I don't believe, I think it's really beautiful.
I don't believe that. I don't believe that.
Oh, no.
I don't believe that.
Well, maybe it's time you did start believing it.
Why didn't they just go to the toilet?
Because Gary's on now.
there was a bloke who used to work, where I used to work, right? It was horrible, right? I mustn't say any names, but he used to go to like a strip club, right? Every day, right? Every day. Every day.
What
right?
time?
Lunchtime and evenings, right?
And evening.
Yeah, and he said that people right there would get in the front, right, and have their pints, right, and they'd piss in their pint pot, so they didn't lose their space at the front of the stage to see another fanny. Right, and then the barman would just come along and empty the. What a fucking life that is!
Oh my God!
What is wrong with you?
That is really sordid.
It's
funny that at no point they thought,
let's close this place down. Let's let's open a Cafe
what
Rouge.
Am I doing?
Oh, just I know the poor old bloke.
it's just so fucking sordid.
I'm thinking
sad.
Of the pot man. You know the pot man who was the guy who used to, the old guy who would go and collect all the glasses.
Yeah.
And quite often the treat was in the old days was it was just that he was an old guy and he'd be allowed to drink what was ever left.
I know.
Oh
yeah.
God, he'd have had a different answer to your.
Have you ever drunk anyone's wee?
Yeah.
Oh, well, this is getting...
How's this ended up? We were talking about...
It always does.
And the great thing is, you just get older, you just got to accept it, and then just drinking a pint of weed.
How did that happen? We could have had a lovely elegiac conversation.
I don't know who's listening to this.
No.
I can't think of what demographic is this.
I reckon it's people who, even though they don't realise you can pause this, think you can't pause it, and sit with a pint pot pissing in it. I better go to the toilet.
I don't know who tunes in. It's Tuesday, 11 o'clock. So we were talking about death in a bucket and transplanting Robin's pubic hair onto his head.
Yeah. Started off with squid legs. Lovely.
Yeah. Squid legs, here's the Beatles.
And then... It's like watching the process of life to death, isn't it, basically?
Yeah.
Starts
every
up big,
week.
Then gets confused. And then at the end, there's a kind of moment which feels like, you know, the Indian summer of the podcast. Oh, it's all right, isn't it?
Yeah.
What are you promoting?
Well, here's Cat Stevens, The Wind. Cat Stevens and The Wind. I'm Ricky Gervais, with me Diane Morgan and Robin Ince.
Can I just say one thing that I've loved about doing this all the time is that you never move away from doing the songs in alphabetical order. they give him a list of songs in alphabetical order. And never once have you thought, wonder what would be suitable about that? Perhaps Keaton Henson or maybe Stevie Wonder? No, that was the Beatles, B-E. Now here's Bob Dylan, B-O. And that was Cat Stevens, C-A. So in some ways...
the laziest broadcaster in the world. But Robin is 50 and we're talking about little Robin Ince today, my little friend of 30 years. And Jane, I don't follow you on Instagram. I don't really do that. But Jane tells me that you were boxing training.
Yeah.
Well, that blew my mind.
Yeah.
So what?
It's not a midlife thing. It's I'm on tour. With
I do
Brian
it.
Cox.
I love it. Yeah, you mean on pads and stuff? Yeah.
Because I'm on tour with Brian Cox at the moment, and we're touring for.
He loves Cox.
We do get on. But hang on. Do you know what? I don't think I've ever once mentioned him without you doing that. It's like one of those. It's a beautiful. It's a Pavlovian response, isn't it? To the hope of some kind of genital-based pun.
Rick is dribbling again. Don't worry, it's because we just rang the bell for sexual puns.
So every morning, get up, have breakfast, and then we go boxing training.
Hated it when I woke you up on tour because you said you.
No. Because you don't get up at 7 a.m. because you've been woken up by the cleaner's bucket. And then spend the rest of the day with you sitting there going, oh, why did I get up so early? I told you not to. Oh, shut up.
I was woken up, right, on tour, so I woke Robin up, and he went, fucking hell, I didn't go to bed till 3, because he was doing his blog.
You'll be grumpy all day if you get up now. No, mate, having breakfast, having bloody breakfast. By the time the yoghurt's arrived already, he's like, oh, God, I'm so tired. Put more yoghurt on my eyes.
So you've been boxing training. Yeah. Now... You are my lovely, tubby little friend. I've known you from when you were skinny to blumping out.
Like never been skinny. No. I was skinny when I was 20. I was about 9 stone then.
You always had breasts.
Yeah, I've always had breasts.
As I remember.
Yeah. From a very early age. Yeah.
Now, what was that, do you think? That is just luck or is
it's
it?
It's just genetics. And some people would see it as luck, depending on where you want to take your career.
No, and I remember you had to go to the doctor because you were lactating.
That's not a memory. Well, it's a memory that you have. It's a personal memory. This is like the Total Recall, isn't it? He has no idea.
Did I really defeat all the people on Mars, or are my friends lactating?
So you've been training. So what is this? Just keeping fit, or?
Well, it's because you know, is when we're on tour, so we're in a different theatre or different arena every single night, and so just to do something, because otherwise it's just sitting in cars and having meals. Yeah. So like we've been playing Dublin Arena, get up, have breakfast, go to the park, and
it's just you and Brian.
Me, Brian, and Steph, who's his person who does his training and things like that.
Right, and so it's you two in the park.
And we do boxing and planks and press ups and all that stuff.
Oh my God, I
like it. I have to admit, the trouble is that when you're a kid, if you're not very good at games, then that's it. Sport is out, and you just think, and then you realise that actually no, it's all the macho bullshit around it.
Yeah,
and if you do actually go, oh yeah, training's fun. It's great, good. But you believe
makes you
that
feel
it's
good.
Not,
it's
not
exhausting,
not,
though, isn't
yeah, but
it,
that's the point because you get endorphins, you feel good. Yeah. If I haven't been for a run, I feel better after a run. I feel like, I feel, you know, just better.
And
I
enjoy particularly boxing, though. It's really
exhausting. But it makes, but it really, it makes you think as well. It's exhausting because you're thinking about when you're learning a new technique.
It doesn't look like it's exhausting when you watch it.
Oh, that was the most fun ever.
On TV.
Was when he did celebrity boxing, right?
It
was the best day.
Yes, because called? Thingy-ma-jingy.
Grant Bovey.
Grant Bovey.
So I was the fattest and most unhealthy I'd ever been. And I thought it'd be a good idea, right? And I did it, and I had a cold for 3 weeks. We only had 4 weeks to train. And then we did it. And honestly, it's the craziest thing I've ever done. So there was a crowd, because it
watching
was being
televised. BBC studio, a BBC studio.
Yeah.
With a boxing ring.
So I wandered out. I'm sort of going along with it, you know, going out to a thing. And then it was just a frenzy. It was horrible. It was like someone had injected me in the neck with speed, and you get that adrenaline dump. And...
adrenaline dump.
The only danger was me having a heart attack, because we had big gloves. You couldn't really hurt each other, I don't think. And we went it like, honestly, it was mental.
But what was funny was, right, so Grant Bovey comes out and Ricky comes out.
It was quite
and
a fit bloke, wasn't he?
Grant Bovey,
And Grant Bovey has this kind of, oh, we're going to do a celebrity boxing thing, it'll be fun. And then the bell rings and Ricky just went... And he went so full at it. You can see Grant Bovey going, hey, hang on a minute, we're just doing this for charity. And then, so at the end of the first round, though, you were spent.
Oh,
that
done.
Was it, the other two rounds. And I remember what was lovely for me was, right, there was an hour, we're sitting in the bar.
I've never been that tired.
Yeah, we're waiting for Ricky, sitting in the BBC bar, and then Jane comes in, and he just comes in, He can't talk. He can't ask me about pubic hair transplants, drinking cows out of milk.
The doctor was there saying, "Well, I just drink water. I had 3 pints, right?"
Jane was actually told.
I didn't sleep that night.
What do you mean you had 3 pints?
I had 3 pints just to cook. Yeah. I was sort of fine, but the adrenaline, right? I went home and I was awake all night because the sheer adrenaline. Whoa. It was horrible.
But Jane had to sit with the doctor for an hour, and he went, right, if he makes this noise, call an ambulance. Yeah. If he makes this noise, call an ambulance.
I was walking about and talking.
We were barely talking, though. You really were. Yeah.
They were just worried because we weren't.
I was watching that, and there was one part where they were training you so hard that you could barely breathe. And I remember thinking, he's going to die.
I know.
It sounded like you could not breathe.
I was fat.
Like you couldn't get any air in.
Yeah.
It was frightening.
But it was the way that you went so mad, because it was like, I thought I'd be a nice thing. And then you just was like...
Adrenaline. Yeah.
And Grant Bobby was like, oh.
It's like a proper fight.
Yeah,
it was like a proper fight. It felt mental.
But the second two, the third round,
we couldn't even punch. We were just, it was like two drunks leaning on each other. Nothing, we couldn't hurt each other. Mm. But I say, the only danger I had was just having a heart attack because I was so unfit.
But I do find it amazing when you do boxing checks. It's like double jab, and you go, "How do they do that?"
I know,
because you can do the first jab, and then the second one, you go, "Well,
it's taken me 20 years since then to learn how to do the punches right." It's great. I love.
But it's a really good way of living right at the moment, because we're doing 70 dates, right? Well, in fact, we've got 70, at least 70 left. So we've done 8 dates, right? And this idea of actually having a regime: wake up, breakfast, go to the park, boxing exercise, lunch. Talk about the universe, glass of wine, good night. That's like kind of, what did you do today? Oh, I just tried to understand the universe, going with Brian Cox and did some boxing.
I can't imagine you boxing.
No, you'd be quite surprised.
I'd love to see that.
I'm scared.
Would you wear your glasses if you did celebrity boxing? Would you wear your glasses?
I'd probably wear special goggles, like kind of World War One pilot goggles. That's what I'd wear. Yeah.
Oh, bless him. Let's have a little record.
Oh, I just mentioned, by the way, because I mentioned that tour. We start the American tour at the end of April. And
where are you going?
A lot of it sold out already. We're doing 2 nights in New York at the Skirball Theatre. Vancouver, they've just added. We're going to Canada as well, obviously. But we're doing, 21 dates.
So Americans who don't know, Brian Cox is probably our most eminent astrophysicist
I'll tell you what, it really, I've never got over the fact that, like, this tour in particular, like, we 12,000 people a night coming to see a man going, now what Albert Einstein was saying about the nature of space-time. And I sit there before I go on and do my bits, and I'm watching this audience, 12, some of them are like 7 years old, some of them are like, we had someone who was 98 years old in the audience the other day, and they're just sitting, and it's just so beautifully silent.
Well, I also think comedy's changing, because more comedy is, I've always put a little bit of fact in and pretended it was a lecture as a bit of a parody, but all my stuff, I love learning about something or talking about something that's passionate, I'm passionate about. So it's been going that way for a while, this mix of, do you know what I mean? This rock and roll being about education.
But it's such an odd, because it basically, so at the end I do a kind of a poem, and then Brian comes on, and one of my favourite lines is, you cannot be immortal, the laws of physics forbid it.
Yeah.
And you think, you know, for a show, the laws of physics forbid immortality.
Yeah.
Well, it's hilarious.
I think it's great. I think the big questions are ripe for comedy because they're important and you can play with them. I think everyone knows that. My new tour is called Supernature, and the setup is I debunk the supernatural. I think anything that exists is part of nature, and anyway, nature's super enough. And that's the kickoff point. And I think people identify with that because there's no argument really. Yeah. I think it's fascinating. What was that you were saying? When people say, but you don't know about the Big Bang. It's too. You weren't there. How do you know?
Oh yeah, so much of that. It's fascinating, isn't it? Which means that basically, all things that you have not observed yourself must therefore, if you think like that, null and void. Because there was someone who, what was it? Someone very argumentative. That was it. And they said, even scientists don't know how the universe began, so it can be anything really. And you go, well, you know, they've got to the first 10^-37 of a second, and that's a lot. I mean, that's fair enough.
I know.
There's that little bit at the beginning. and we might never know that, but it doesn't mean that it makes it null and void. It doesn't mean all other... It's the
really
equality.
Got that close to the second.
Yeah.
By tracing it back to how it acts now and reversing that process of what they observe now. But it's not only that as well. They've also balanced the universe in theory, haven't they, to naught with the matter and antimatter.
It's just really, it's one of the strangest things, and it's so I can't remember whose book I was reading the other day. Who said, you know, the beauty of physics is it allows us to be counterinstinctual. It allows us not to use just common sense, because common sense does not say everything that we observe, everything that is around us, everything you can see through a telescope, fitted into pretty much, well, basically nothing. And then you have something which is, you know, the size of a pinhead. And at that point, you go, inside that are all the ingredients to make, you know, camels and black holes and supernova. And that is really counterintuitive. And it's against common sense. And you can see why people go, well, I think the other answers are as good. And you go, they're not as methodical.
You can do it with sort of metaphor that trillions of blown up balloons fill a space, but if you pop them all, they're a small space. And when you think that an atom is mostly nothing, it's a nucleus with a, and its size is determined by the orbit of an electron, you know, like a fly going around the Albert Hall. It starts to make sense, but even on that scale, it's unfathomable. So you have to do a lot of it.
Yeah, it will never make common sense. It will always feel, and that's what I find really like the last tour that we did. I think really did have people find it. There were bits that were very hard. There's still stuff in this one which is not easy. But there's stuff about light cones, which are basically the limit of our possible destinies are limited also by the speed of light, because there is a speed limit on the speed of light. There's a limit in terms of the speed we can travel, which is the speed of light. And because anything beyond that, then all of the laws, or whatever you want to say, break down. So the universe as it is, there is a speed limit on the universe. And that is... And when you watch people seeing all of these little kind of graphs and these illustrations...
Well, I think it comes to it because people take it personally, because people with some religious beliefs. And most religious people believe in a God, and they believe in physics and evolution and that. But I think sometimes it's least harmful. People use the word God in the same way that we use nature, you know, but they give it a will. And we don't. That's all.
I think a lot of religious people I know, basically, because the Big Bang in some ways fits in quite neatly, because it means the universe has got a beginning. They go, oh, well, there was a start. And then most religious people, and even quite high up in the church, they kind of go, they see it, there's a starting point, and then the laws of nature kick off, and then it's the laws of nature.
And also, the thing with religion, of course, there's 1,000 definitions of what people believe.
Yeah.
You know, deists and some people think
that
he started off an ant farm and then stepped back. So there's no definition that we can... But science can answer every definition so far of God and what he could do. It's just that... your term, you know, with science, it's the least wrong answer so far. Yeah. It keeps correcting itself and going, we've improved it.
And then every now and again, it'll get things, you know, wrong.
Scientists will.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. As a process, there is the possibility. I remember the excitement where there was that result where neutrinos appeared to move faster than the speed of light. And if they did, then that would change.
What appeared first?
Neutrinos, which are, they're basically non-interacting particles. They're these things, again, really counterinstinctual. There's millions passing through you right now. And we immediately think, when we hear of things like that, we think, well, hang on a minute, it's got to have some matter and some, but
well,
it's... So,
The uncertainty principle screws everything up. And that is, you just have to accept that you can know where an electron is, or when, but not both.
The uncertainty principle is that the more information you have on the position of something, the less information you have on the speed it's traveling. The more information you have on the speed, the less information you have on it. So
literal and what's metaphorical with quantum physics? Because sometimes
read Philip Ball's Beyond Weird, that's the hard thing. You start listening to it, and because you go, but that doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. And Richard Feynman, the Nobel Prize winning physicist, you talk about that. He said, "Stop asking why it's like that. You'll never be able to. If you're just asking, you know, but it can't be like that. Just go, it is. And now let's start doing the calculations and let's look at the universe.
Well, with most quantum physics, the theory came first anyway, and they had to balance it. You know, even relativity was a theory that then was proved right with observation. So we're catching up with theory with observation.
But
that's
most of us aren't, are we? Most of us, you just have to. That's the worry is people they want to pretend that we do all the working out ourselves, and we can't. With the amount of information there is in the world, you can't work it all out yourself.
Well, that's
you
a crazy accusation.
It's a difficult. Yeah, we hear this a lot about things like climate change, and sometimes you go, do you know what? You don't have the time, or indeed the inclination, to go to the Arctic and test out different ice cores and take these observations and do these things that NASA do. So yeah. Sometimes you just have to go, right, why do I think that this group of people want me to believe this story?
Well, it's
and how
mad,
much
isn't
can
it?
I at least look at how much research they've done?
Well, it's like assuming that every scientist in the world is part of a conspiracy.
There was some dick the other day, some conservative, going, is it the sun or is it CO2? Well, I think when you think about it, the sun's pretty big, isn't it? And you go, what? So you're literally saying, well, CO2 is a very small amount of CO2 and the sun's really big, so I think sun's causing... No, they're both involved.
Yeah.
We're not saying the sun's not involved. It's only carbon... And that level of thinking is it a convenient level of thinking? Because you just go... Again, it's the same. When people go, oh, but it's such a small amount of difference in CO2, and you go, yeah, also viruses are tiny. Well, they'll kill you. Well, you go, how could a virus kill me? I could smash its face in. It's tiny. You know.
Just... Well, the thing here is, I get it a lot with like animal testing. Now, animal testing, right, what people don't understand is that it's like most other things, it's money driven. So animal testing. 92%, so basically nearly 100% of experimentation that works on animals in some way then goes on to fail in humans because the models don't work. We are so different, it doesn't work, OK? Computer testing works better because it's based on our model, right? People say, well, hold on, though, why do people still do it if it doesn't work? Well, because the people who breed these animals make $1,000 or $2,000 per animal. Universities get big grants to do a little bit of it for the fun. So it's one big conspiracy theory. It doesn't work. Animal testing doesn't work in humans.
See, I'm not sure about that because I've spoken to other people, but I don't know enough to enter into that argument. What I'm basically saying, though, is that unless you've tested these pubic hair grafts on, you know, some rabbits, first of all, I think we're wasting a lot of time with this money you're giving me for the pubic hair graft to help that bald man.
Well, we're on D. This is David Bowie and Heroes.
D. The letter D.
David Bowie and Heroes. I'm Ricky Gervais. With me, Diane Morgan. And Robin Ince.
Hello. Also,
he's 50 years
Rally,
old.
Milwaukee, because right. I know there's still tickets available for Milwaukee and Raleigh, and we're in Philadelphia and Boston. And lots of others, and the West Coast and in the middle bit as well, in Chicago. So that's what I'd say. But yeah, it's mainly Brian talking about the nature of the universe with the graphics. So there's the image of the black hole actually gives me travel sickness. Is that good?
We've got
people who did Interstellar have done the some of the graphics of these images of kind of stars.
And you can follow Robin on Twitter to find out more, can't you? At Robin Ince.
Yes. Yeah. And Prof Brian Cox is
and send him a little happy 50th.
Yeah, please do.
And and Robin, I'll show you.
I don't know what I'll show him. I have no idea what I'm going to show him.
Pubic
hair. Yeah.
Because that is.
We were talking
fine.
About David. You say Bowie. You knew him.
It is Bowie, but I've always said
it?
Bowie. And even David Bowie said, oh, he doesn't remember anymore. He doesn't care. in one of his interviews. Yeah, it is a Bowie, because a Bowie knife, but I say...
Because a Bowie knife? What's
that's
a Bowie
what it was,
knife?
That's, it should be pronounced the same as, yeah,
never
Bowie.
Heard of a Bowie knife.
Bowie knife? You know what a Bowie knife is? No. Isn't a Bowie knife a thing with a blade and then a little bit of jagged bit on the back, a Bowie knife? You've heard of a Bowie knife?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think... Frankie Lane did a song about it. Bowie knife.
We never hear that.
If my gun don't take your evil life, you can bet my Bowie knife will. Da 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 da.
Well,
to save money, this time on the show, Ricky will be singing all the songs. Here's David Bowie and Life on Mars.
Yeah, I once saw, you know, on those variety shows in the 70s where it would be like a bit of comedy and a sketch, then they'd have like an interlude, right?
Yeah.
And I once saw this band called Swingle 2, right? They were sort of a vocal band, right? And I go, here's a lovely Swingle 2 with David Bowie's Life on Mars. And it was like three girls and three blokes, right? And they sort of did that, it's a god-awful small affair, yeah. Bum, 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 with the girl with the mouth. And they just had sort of like little silver suits on and tinfoil on their head. Like, I was like, oh, come on, it's a props department. Is it? And it was I was thinking, I wanted to turn around to my parents and go, I don't like this. Yeah. I don't like this. I'm cool. I like Bowie. I like the real thing.
See, I don't know if they have this in America, but what we had where sometimes when you couldn't actually afford the artist, instead there would be a dance troupe. So there would be a dance troupe.
And there is
that beautiful one of MacArthur Park, which you can see on YouTube, which because someone left the cake out in the rain, and it is someone looking through a window and they see the cake, and it's all very but then again, I love the fact that when he was asked, what's his name again, the guy who wrote that brilliant wrote with Shalai Man as well,
Jimmy Webb, yeah.
When when you're saying someone left the cake out in the rain, what does the cake mean, what are you saying? And he goes, no, I do actually mean there's a cake and it's been left in the rain. I love that, you know, for all that the cake is it about emotion?
It is a weird song. Yeah, it's not one of my favourites, but
who's left the cake out there?
I know. Do you remember those? Are you old enough to remember like people like Pan's People and Hot Gossip and Legs and Co?
But
and
also,
was just people, women brought out when the artist couldn't make it in the studio just dancing around.
Do you remember those albums that they used to
Top of the Pops, I had those.
Top of the Pops songs that weren't even the actual people singing them.
No, but it was like impressions. It wasn't just
an impression. I know. And people bought them.
You used to win them at fair.
Because you'd get 20
cheap
songs.
Yeah.
Right,
it'd have a sort of woman on the front.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, it was always about a woman in hot pants.
Yeah.
Right, and there's a, hey, Jude. And then
there were sort of supermarket versions of songs,
exactly,
weren't there?
But and they also had those on, like in cafes and shopping centres because you had to pay PRS,
but
so it was cheaper.
They'd never get away with that now, would they? Who would buy that now?
Yeah, I know.
I love them. Jerry Dammers from The Specials, who just had a number one album, which is fantastic. Specials, you know, one of the greatest bands of the late 70s and early 80s, I think. And their first single was called Gangsters. Yeah. And he says the version on the Top of the Pops record is better than their version because somehow they managed to produce it almost in the cheapness of the production. They found that way. And I've never.
It wasn't suddenly people just trying to get around this, you know, the real stars. It came out of genuine people singing pop songs as well. So, you know, Ingeborg Humperdinck and Sinatra started singing Beatles songs almost immediately. They put it in their repertoire because it was good songwriting. So it sort of didn't matter. If it was a good song, I mean, how many times has Yesterday been in the charts with different people? If it was a good song, people covered it. Right? Mm. It was just that these people
were
weren't
nobodies.
Even. No, they were just
like
session musicians. I know. Yeah, I know.
Love them. I think they're great. But what was the one? I was going to say, there's Life on Mars. Yeah. The first version of that's the guy from Herman's Hermits, isn't it? The actual first single version. Well, I don't think it was a single for. Was it a single for Bowie?
Life on Mars was Bowie first. Yeah.
No, but it was a cover. No, I'm saying actually released as a single.
I don't know.
I think it's the guy from Herman's Hermits.
Oh, I don't know if he did that and beat Bowie to it, but yeah. There's one. I remember I had the Top of the Pops albums, and there was one I liked, right? And now it's cringy. It was Rider White Swan, and it was someone doing an impression of Mark Bone. It was going, Rider White Swan. And it was just, it's just hilarious. It was the impression that was the worst.
Why can't you play those between the bits of
conversation? Can we do that next time?
Amazing. I'll get my favourite ever bad cover. Yeah, we should do that.
Yeah.
So Robin is on tour. He's 50 years old. he's getting into shape. Diane, have you got anything to plug?
No.
Can I just check? Hang on, how many questions? Is that literally it? You had two questions. Oh, yeah, the rest of it's blank. You're right. There we are. He came in, we thought, three sheets of paper here that, didn't get round to the other. Oh, yeah. Is that all of it? Well, face
you
falls.
Didn't
oh, hang on.
What?
Face falls off,
right.
But it grows back better than ever. Lovely hair, lovely skin. You lose weight. Or just leave it as it be. So you didn't
right.
do that face
oh,
falls
right,
off.
Okay, then what's that?
Didn't do about if your face
so,
falling off.
Oh, yeah, what right. did you do, right? If you had to go through, like, something happened to you, like, got a terrible disease, right?
And, right,
your,
and
face
your face
rotted
falls
away.
Off.
Your, right, yeah. right, your face rotted away, right? And it's horrible, and you go, but then, right, when they treat you, right, it comes back better than ever. No wrinkles, your hair grows back, long, flowing locks. You look about 25 again, mm-hmm. right? And, but you have to go through a few months of agony. Would you? What would you do? Or leave it as it is?
Again, I'm fine.
Right.
That's the thing. That's the problem, isn't it? I don't really want to go through agony until
months?
It's entirely required.
Well, it's face to. Yeah, no. So, okay, he wakes up one
I'm
day.
I'm interested.
Okay, he wakes up one day, right, and he's got like a spot and he picks it and some of his face, his cheek falls off, right? You go, oh, fuck. He goes to the doctor, okay, you've got the thing, right? And we go, we'll treat you, right? But the other one falls off, right? And then his sort of. His
remember
hair
that woman who
falls...
got her face ate off by a dog?
I don't remember that.
Yeah, it was in France.
Yeah.
Was it? It was actually, the dog was trying to wake her up, wasn't it?
Yeah, the dog was trying to wake her up, but was she also hungry, I think,
hold on,
as well.
Yeah. No, wasn't she on crack or something, though?
I think she had had some, you know, her life had gone bad.
So she didn't
and
feel
she was,
it.
And it's fascinating. I mean, to me, that is incredible. That ability now, the possibility of people who... I saw some footage recently, you know,
yeah,
people who through
first,
accidents
first
have lost and finding a way of beating the immune system of, you know, it's incredible.
I know. But it's not, but is it someone else's face?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
a dead person's
dead
face?
Person's
yeah,
face.
So it's a donation of face.
On.
And does it... And it... Wow.
Have you seen her?
No.
You didn't see it?
Would you, what would you, if you had to have that, right?
Yeah.
Who would you choose?
I could choose.
Yeah. You'd have to wait for someone.
Oh, right. Someone whose face I'd like to wait for them to die. And
yeah.
Then... Whose face would I go for? See, I'd want one of the greats. I'd want, like, Sophia Loren when she was younger.
Right, well,
but,
she's,
you know,
not,
she's
though.
Not,
she can't have her when she was younger.
No one's
she's
got a sort
enough.
Of great, you know, properly... Maybe Angelina Jolie, I'd go for her face.
Right, but again, you'd so if she went tomorrow and you yeah. needed it, you'd go, I'd first dibs
yeah,
on that.
Yeah, first dibs on her face.
And what if they said, that no one's... We've got to do it today.
Yeah.
Robin,
we haven't got Jolie,
we haven't
but
got,
we've
Robin,
got these.
Robin died today.
Yeah.
And
would you
said,
like to have his pubic hair glued on your face? This seems to be a big leak from having Angelina yeah. Jolie's face.
So what would you
That's
do?
Just the way medicine
what
is.
Would you do? It would be weird, though, wouldn't it? If you had little Robin's face. Robin's yeah. dead, right? But he yeah. donated his face.
Yeah, I'd be
right.
grateful, I suppose, wouldn't I?
Yeah. It would change everything, wouldn't it? You'd still have your voice, wouldn't
yeah.
you?
Yeah. I just think it'd be fine with a bit of makeup.
It's some Frankenstein monster, that, isn't it?
Yeah.
So you've got your hair, though, haven't you? So that helps
still
a little bit.
Still got my hair, yeah. I think it'd be fine.
If you want to check, I think it's very easy to do this kind of thing on the internet.
Just, what I look like with your face.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure there's someone who'd be able to do that.
Oh, my God. We have really run out of material now, haven't we? I mean, this is shocking.
What was the other one? There was another
was
one.
Was there another
said
one?
There was a face dropped off in another bedroom.
Oh, I know. What, no,
Kiss
Robin.
Papa.
No.
Blah, blah,
okay,
blah, blah, blah.
What would you rather do, right? Swap your mouth and anus around, right? So you've got your mouth is a little anus, right? It's an
right.
absolute anus, right?
I've
so
seen people with
oh
men's
God,
like
that's
anuses.
In the what's that cartoon? The preacher, the cartoon thing preacher,
oh, really?
Where there's a guy, yeah, yeah.
So you got an anus mouth, right?
Yeah.
You can talk, right? You've got no teeth or tongue or anything. So, but you have to.
It's
show...
all been cleaned up as well. It's
yeah,
not kind
no,
of covered in.
No,
yeah,
no,
yeah, 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 yeah.
Right. No, right, right. Right. And so you're at dinner, right? And you have to really push in sort of the sausage,
right? Yes.
Right?
It's disgusting.
Right, right, but right, but you're. And do you got a mouth for an anus with teeth and everything? I suppose you could knock them out if you wanted.
Oh, God, yeah.
Just it just falls out as well because you can't hold it in. Otherwise,
is this an either or is this just, this is what you've got?
Yeah, you've either got to swap your mouth with your anus, right? So you might not choose that, right? Or swap your eyes round with your testicles. So you've got a lovely pair of bollocks for eyes and your eyes are in your trousers. So you have to walk around with your flies open looking at things, right? And then you tickle your testicles when you want a little bit of self pleasure, right? Right.
Anus mouth every time.
Yeah, because you can always just wear something over the.
No.
Yeah.
You're known as anus boy.
No, but you're.
No, if you just like that.
Also, what if it turns out I end up winning a competition as a whistler?
Okay, what about this then, right? What about, right? Mm. Okay, so you've chosen...
This, by the way, listeners, is... This is like, this is not him, all the homework he's done. He spent the whole weekend coming up with the previous five questions. This is him now just working on the hoof. This is...
Right, so you've got an anus, right? For a mouth, right?
Yeah.
And you've got a mouth as an anus. Yeah. But now, I'm going to up the ante a little bit here, right? You can't talk through your anus mouth.
Right.
You have to talk through your arse lips, right?
Yeah.
So you have to take your trousers down and show your arse to talk to people, right? Because that talks, right? And you have to put food, what is essentially up your arse, right?
Yeah.
And then poo out of your mouth, right?
Right. Down the, yeah.
So, right. Yeah. So when you're
excited, the voice. You can hear the tremor in the voice. So when you're
at Valentine's Day, romantic with your wife, right?
Right.
You're sitting there,
she's
right?
She's still with him.
Right. But there's that. So it's just like you're there, right? The rain is there, right? You can't talk. You're talking. She goes, I can't hear. So you have to sort of just pop your trousers down at the back, right, and talk, right? And then when your soup comes, you have to basically crouch on the chair and put your arse into the soup to suck it up.
You're not
through
gonna
your...
be a straw.
Huh?
To be honest, by this point, I think I'm banned from most restaurants, aren't I? I don't think I'm gonna be allowed in.
No, because it's a disability, isn't it?
Right, okay.
You can't, so people would go, oh, that's terrible. That the man, arse boy, arse mouth boy, was asked to leave.
Testicle eyes then.
Yeah.
You could wear big glasses, couldn't you?
Yeah,
I suppose you can wear sunglasses. Yeah. So what is it? You still do, would you do mouth testicle?
Oh God! Now I'm imagining that I've got false teeth in there as well. And I'm having to pop them out before eating the soup. No.
So what would you? Would
and
you
what's the choice? What was the
choice?
Testicle eyes.
Yeah, testicle. Yeah, just your bollocks
hanging
from your eyes.
I would say testicle eyes because then you can just wear dark glasses, can't you?
Yeah.
I know, but then you've got to walk around with your flies undone, with your little eyes where your testicles should be. Right. Yeah. So your penis is out. So you basically keep getting arrested.
You're
right,
changing
okay.
it.
I think I'm going to get arrested either way, right? I'm sucking soup up with my naked arse, or I've got my penis out so I can see where I'm going. Either way, I think there's going to be, you know, recriminations there, aren't there? Definitely.
Yeah.
I think the thing is, though, I'm going to be so rich from suing that surgeon when I go...
Just, oh, my God.
Well,
I just
true.
Came
oh.
to have a verruca frozen off, and you've swapped around my testicles with
me. Right, okay. Money from suing him, you could have it all reversed.
Yeah, who would you choose if you had to do I'll pay for this, right?
Right.
But
you know what? What I love is... This is like being with Howard Hughes, isn't it? It really is. Right? What I'm saying is...
This is on me.
When you used to do this
show... OK, right, what would you do, right? OK,
right.
Right. Swap your arms and legs over.
Yep.
So you've just got your legs, your arms, right? Are you walking on your hands, or do you walk upside down?
What angle have the legs been placed in? I mean, in terms of soft points,
they've just taken.
Are they still? Are they at arm angle? If you see what I mean,
they'd never be like that, would they? They'd all be dangling down.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're dangling down. You've got sort of like it's like they look like arms. But if you go, you got feet for hands, right?
Yeah.
Basically, you got feet for hands, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're walking on your.
Well, you'd be in a wheelchair, wouldn't you?
Probably be. I don't know.
It'd be hard. You'd be walking on your hands. It's hard, isn't it?
Yeah.
Get a mobility scooter.
Just swap.
Yep.
Put your head where your genitals are, and your head, your genitals where your head is. So you've got a bit like bollocks and knob on your neck, right? And your head just popping out your flies, and then just not have a normal life.
I just worry about the inspiration you might be giving people in Cedar Sinai Hospital at the moment, or one of the, you know, that bit we're going, why did you do that, doctor? Well, I was trying to do the heart operation, but at the same time, I was listening to Ricky Gervais's podcast, so I started getting the testicles all mixed up.
So, swap arms for legs or head for genitals?
Oh, I'll go for arms for legs.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I don't want testicles hanging at the top of my neck.
But then you're just walking around normally, right?
Yeah.
With your head there, right?
Yeah.
You're just doing all normal things.
Remember, you can't keep moving away from the microphone. I know this is like your 50th thing, but they can't see your mime, right?
Right. You're just walking around with your head right there.
Oh, no, look, I've got... You've beautifully drawn this image.
Yeah.
It's all there. I'm saying no.
So you cannot... There's no way you're strong enough to walk on your hands.
How do you know that? I'm doing boxing exercises at the moment.
And you've got fucking legs hanging from your shoulders with feet on them.
What
a fucking useless...
Yeah, as opposed to the glamour of testicle head.
It's just, you can run around normally. You can.
I can't.
Yes, you can.
How can you run around normally where there are people shouting testicle head?
You could wear a hat and just have your head popping out.
It's going to be a tiny little hat, isn't it? It can be like the kind of thing you put on an egg to keep it warm.
No, so it's just a, it's just like a, just put a scarf on, right? And it's just like you've got no head, but your head's where your thing are. And they just go, oh, it's just, oh, yeah.
Oh, it's just a headless man with a little cock sticking out of a scarf. Yeah.
No, but at least you're walking around.
This is such a change from. I've spent 2 weeks travelling around with a physicist, you know, actually asking great questions about the nature of the universe, what it is to be human. And now we're going, well, we've sorted out what it is to be human, but what about testicle head?
Right, okay. What do you think you should do, Diane? It's up to you.
I agree. Legs.
Really?
Yeah.
So you wouldn't want to see his little head?
No, just, no, I wouldn't.
I don't also... I think you're bringing that... You know, this wouldn't people want to see it, again, changes the ethics of the operation. Why did you do that? I've got testicles head. I think people want to see it. Did you think about me as a... Not really. I was just thinking about, you know, the financial possibilities.
Oh, God. Right, this is surely the worst show
it's
we've
not
ever
worst.
Done.
Yeah. Isn't it?
It's definitely the worst
one I've ever been on.
Thank you.
Yeah. I don't know. It's got that problem, hasn't it? It had this kind of vivacious element. There was a tremendous energy to it.
Yeah.
Then we got, you know, I mean, the thing about animals and then, yeah, and then the nature of quantum mechanics and testicle head.
Yeah.
And I think the problem is not so much, it's tone, isn't it?
Right.
The tone changes rapidly, doesn't
really
it? It's
quickly.
Like you'll suddenly get philosophical thinking about a man killing a lion.
Yeah.
And then you get a kind of moment of sadness.
Mm.
And then suddenly it's upbeat, you know, testicle head again.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's hard to keep the tone, isn't it?
Well, it's not that. It's the,
something for everyone.
I just think I'm giving you an opportunity because I've worked hard and I admit I've made a lot of money and now I want to give some back. So I'm willing to pay for any operation you choose of the list that I invent, right? So that it's like an you go, oh my God, he's spending $5 million on me. What am I going to do? I can have anything. I could get you bigger breasts if you wanted.
Yeah.
I could swap your breast for ears. The possibilities are fucking endless now. We've got the weight of medical science. You can do anything you want.
This is the problem, is people who bought the Flanimals books thought it was just a fun nonsense book for children, not a manifesto for the future of living creatures on Earth. They thought it was just a bit of fun, didn't they? They didn't think, this is what life on Earth can be like if I'm in charge with my millions. What's Jerry Seinfeld spending his money on? Bloody cars. What am I? I'm giving people breast ears. He's just honking around in a Ferrari. It's ridiculous.
Right. Okay, that's all we've got.
Right. We always stop when you can't breathe anymore.
Oh, God.
I'll tell you what, why don't we at least get to the second page, E to N?
E to N, okay. Let's leave him with a lovely song.
Leave him with Nick Cave. Oh, no, you can't. Not after that conversation. It's like rude to him, isn't it?
Okay, right. Okay,
Beach, Martha and the Muffins.
Yeah,
just
okay,
do that.
Right. Thanks for listening to another episode of Ricky Gervais. Is Deadly Serious with
the
me.
Poor guy. It's like the guy in the studio who's been recording this. It's the first time he's heard this, and he's thought, oh, I'm going to be working with Ricky Gervais from The Office. He's not been expecting this.
Right, Robin's on tour in America.
Yeah.
Follow him, at Robin Ince. Diane, she never plugs anything.
I'm not doing anything.
You're in our new show, Afterlife, coming to Netflix, 8th of March. Put it on your planner. 8th of March, Netflix.
Put it on your planner?
Yeah, they can...
How did it get again? Changing tone.
What?
Yeah, don't forget, if you've got the Ricky Gervais wall planner, if you've got enough tokens, enough Ricky Gervais stamps, you'll have the planner. Pop it up on the planner. There we are. Anyway, let's leave now with... I'll tell you what, I fancy going to the beach. I want to go to the beach. Echo Beach, Martha and the Muffins. And there we are, segue.